Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Friday morning. It is a few minutes after 8. We're looking up at the screen here, and the Kristi Noem confirmation hearing is underway right now. They're starting with some opening statements, and one of the Democrats on the Homeland Security Committee, Gary Peters, is leading this off here right now. But Noem has not had a chance to speak just yet, but we're looking forward to hearing some of the testimony from her as the morning continues. We'll try to get that for you here, maybe coming up once it's her turn to talk. You know how these things go. The members of the committee get to rant for 4 or 5 minutes each before they actually let the nominee actually say anything. So we'll see how that's going. Lots going on in D.C., to say the very least. We got Congressman Eric Burleson on the phone with us this morning from the 7th District. And Eric, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Doing great, Mark.
Hey, thank you for being here this morning. We appreciate that. I don't know. Are you able to watch any of these nomination hearings from your office up there?
You know, that is a frustrating part of this. Like, the Senate is it's just on the other side of the building, but it seems like it's several states away because we are spending all of our time in our hearings focused on the things that are happening in the House. When the news cameras and the interest moves to the Senate, I don't have time to watch it until I get, home at night and turn on the news just like you all.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your priorities? What are you working on right now? What are you most excited about?
I'm excited about the DOGE effort. I'm excited about the next few days, the early days of the Trump administration. I'm excited about the opportunity to actually cut spending and in these reconciliation bills. So things are moving very quickly. And one thing, I guess you'll be the first person to learn about this, is that I just received word that I'm going to be a chairman of a subcommittee on oversight.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And so Chairman Jamie Comer is making me the chair of the Subcommittee on Economic Growth, Energy Policy, and Regulatory Affairs.
Yeah. So in English, what kind of impact do you think you can have in that position?
You know, we can especially start investigating and looking into some of the problems that we're facing with our energy grid, everything from the mandates on light bulbs, any policies that might help grow the economy, or things that might be stifling the economy, regulations and laws, are things that this committee can be investigating.
Yeah. I heard some of the questions yesterday talking about energy policy. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy some of the questions they were asking. The guy that's going to be was it Bessent? Is that his name? The one who's going to be in charge of Treasury? Mm-hmm. and they're asking him questions about the Chinese and climate change and all of these things. And I'm thinking, you know what, if the energy grid goes down, none of that matters. I mean, we've ignored this for 4 years now on a hope and a dream that we're somehow going to have an impact on what they refer to as climate change.
Yeah, they have. The Biden administration and really the Obama administration as well, they put a stranglehold on any kind of new energy growth in America. We've been seeing the mothballing of our coal-fired power plants. They're trying to make us, you know, retire the gas-powered power plants and move all to solar and wind. And we've seen the results of this happen, you know, in California, brownouts, just a lack of electricity availability throughout the United States, especially during, you know, harsh weather conditions. So it's not reliable.
Yes.
When you're talking about bringing into this country data centers, AI data centers, when you're talking about trying to, when they say we're going to have more electric vehicles, show me where you're going to get the electricity for that, right? And you're not going to do it on, you know, rainbows and unicorns. It's going to have to come from fossil fuels until we get to back to a place where nuclear is affordable.
Yeah.
So we need to have these discussions. We need to and toss out all of this, you know, religious fervor about the, you know, worshiping the planet. And let's make some common sense decisions.
There's some weird videos about people who are basically doing just that people need to go watch. I wanted to ask you about all this DEI stuff, because we keep hearing about all these companies that are getting rid of their DEI policies and departments. Now I see, and you were posting about this on X, that the FBI has closed its diversity office just days before Trump officially, you know, takes office. What do you think this means for people out there who may be listening, who feel like, you know, I was passed up for a job and I think it was because of this DEI nonsense that their company had in place?
Right. I think it's great. I think we're seeing the pendulum is coming back to sanity. I think the American people got to the point where it was just toxic, this woke culture. And, you know, we're finally coming back to meritocracy, which is truly an American, you know, in the American spirit, right? I was disappointed that recently in amongst all of these things, when company after company is abandoning these failed policies and universities like Mizzou are abandoning this, we had an op-ed recently by the former president of Missouri State University in Springfield, who came out and said, defending the DEI policies and saying that they were a good thing. I don't think anybody, I think he's talking to a very small echo chamber.
Sure. No, I agree. Looking ahead to Monday, what are you expecting? What are you most excited about? I'm going to be there. I'm going to be somewhere in the crowd looking up as Donald Trump gets sworn in.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, Mark, come by my office.
Okay.
Anybody who's going to be in town that day, we're having an open house in Longworth, first floor. Come by. If you're from Missouri, come by and say hello. I think we're going to do it from about 2 p.m.
Okay.
In my office on Sunday. But in any event, text me or call me. I'd love to catch up with you when you're up here. But I'm excited. It's going to be cold. It's going to be in the teens. So put on your long underwear.
I read that they're going to open the Capitol grounds at 5 a.m. Will there actually be people out there, I wonder, standing, trying to get position at 5 in the morning?
Oh, I'm sure there will
be. That's crazy.
We were told to get there early, too. Like, I think we're supposed to go through the lines to get to the seated area around 8 a.m. or something.
Wow.
So,
yeah, it's going to be a long, cold morning, and you can't take a chair. You can't take, I mean, the list of restrictions on the Capitol grounds is just crazy.
Yeah, but it'll be historic, right? I mean,
yes.
This will be a moment that we will be able to, you know, tell our kids about. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Eric Burleson, looking forward to, hopefully I'll run into you when we're up there this weekend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark.
Yep. Thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate that. Should be something else. 5 a.m. It's going to be 10 degrees on Monday morning at 5 a.m. And there will be people already lining up because part of this is, most of it is standing room only. The Congress people will have chairs. The senators, the congressmen will have chairs, the VIPs. All the rest of us are going to be standing on our own 2 feet for hours waiting for him to be sworn in at 12 o'clock Eastern time.
You think
11
he'll,
Central.
You think he'll have a bigger crowd than Obama?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so, too.
He's going to say that, whether it's the truth or not. I don't know. I think that it's going to be huge because I think there's a pent-up frustration that's lasted for 5 years now, and I think all of that's going to be unleashed.
I can't wait to see the amount of people who are chanting USA and who are awesome. I know the Village people are performing. I don't know if they're I can't remember if they're performing during the actual inauguration ceremony, but I know at some point during the 3 or 4 day festivities,
yes.
You know, they will be. But I want to see the whole crowd doing the Trump dance. You better be among them, Mark.
It should be pretty epic, I think. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Lydia Hu about this TikTok ban and maybe Red Door, whatever this other option is. It's in Mandarin Chinese when you look up the app in the App Store. But we'll be back in just a minute.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, Mark. I wanted to let you know to get those Bengay heat wraps. Take that with you on Monday. Wrap those around you. You will be so hot, you don't even need a coat. Trust me, I've tried it. Good luck. Have fun. I'm jealous. Bye.
Oh, that's awesome. What's her name, Carl? Can't tell on there? Okay, Carl's looking.
That's Sue.
Oh, okay, Sue. Thank you for the advice. I love that idea because I don't want to be cold. But I'm also not sure I want to smell like Bengay, because when I think of Bengay, my nostrils fill with that smell. Like if I'm rubbing that on a sore muscle or something, that's soothing. But if I don't need it.
You just left the gym.
Yeah, you smell. It's that you just left the gym smell.
Wait until you're outside for a few hours and then you won't care what you smell like.
Maybe they're smell free. I don't know. I did go yesterday to Farm and Home and I bought... I stopped by Cabela's. I stopped by Farm and Home. I bought a big bag of those hand warmers.
Mm, yep.
So because I had some the other day that had been in my garage for like a year and a half or 2 years, and I took them to the inauguration in Jeff City, and they didn't work very well. I think they expire after a while. So I bought a big fresh bag of them, and I'm going to hand them out to my son and my friend Alex on Monday, so we can both have some hand warmers.
Stick them in your shoes. Stick them in your pockets.
Well, they have those for your feet that are different. I may have to look
into
that too.
Are you an above the foot or below the foot person on those?
I've got some long, narrow ones that are designed to go under your feet.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how that. Like, if that starts getting too hot, what do you do?
Take your shoe off.
I guess you're gonna in 10 degree weather. You got to take your shoe off.
Well, so, and that could smell too, Mark. So you want to smell like Bengay or stinky feet?
That's for stinky feet. Yeah, that's
pick
gonna
your poison.
Happen. That's gonna happen anyway. All right, Kristi Noem is testifying right now in her confirmation hearing for Homeland Security. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Critical infrastructure to make sure that we're protected against cyber attacks, respond to natural disasters, and also terrorism. I firmly believe that we can meet those challenges head on with resolve. Innovation, we can use collaboration with federal and with state partners. And senators, I want your input. Border security must remain a top priority. As a nation, we have the right and the responsibility to secure our borders against those who would do us harm. And we must create a fair and a lawful immigration system that is efficient and is effective and that reflects our values. President Trump was elected with a clear mandate. He needs to achieve this mission because two-thirds of Americans support his immigration and border policies, including the majority of Hispanic Americans. I was the first governor to send National Guard troops to our southern border when Texas asked for help and when they were being overwhelmed by an unprecedented border crisis. If confirmed as secretary, I'll ensure that our exceptional, extraordinary Border Patrol agents have all the tools and resources and support that they need to carry out their mission effectively. The same is true of my commitment to the outstanding men and women of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They are responsible for apprehending, detaining, and deporting illegal immigrants. And getting criminal aliens off of our streets and out of the country will help American communities be safer again.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm tired, frankly, of everyone saying that Jesse is the shallow one at Fox. You know?
You're tired of that?
I'm tired of it. I want to be the shallow one. So can we just admit what we're all thinking? Republican nominees are H-O-T. Their interrogators are N-O-T. The Democrats are nothing but a collection of threes. Maybe there's a four, but they're mostly threes. They get gussied up 3.2. You know, I mean, think about the irony of Tim Kaine interrogating Pete Hegseth over heavy drinking. Did you look at Tim Kaine? He looks like he just spent a 12-day bender after getting tossed from a homeless shelter. He looked like Nick Nolte's mugshot.
As only Greg Gutfeld can put it there. I don't know why I needed to play that bite after watching Kristi Noem here, but she looks like she's straight out of Hollywood casting.
Very dolled up.
Yep, she is. Yep, she looks nice this morning.
She always is dolled up, though.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I saw her at CPAC when I was down there the last time, and I thought she was like 5 feet tall because she had these two bodyguards with her that towered over her. But I just looked up her height. She's 5'7".
Really?
She's tall. But
yeah, she's taller.
The two men she was with towered over her so much that I just assumed she was like a half pint or something, but she's not. She's
a shorty she's like me? Is that what you're saying?
No. I didn't mention
Mark, I can read between the lines.
I just thought she was shorter than that for some odd reason. Coming up, Lydia Hu's going to join us from the Fox Business Network. What happens if TikTok goes away this Sunday? What happens? Other than a lot of tantrums by our teenagers. What's next? We're going to talk to her about that when we come back. Welcome back. You know, the clock is ticking, so to speak, on a TikTok. The deadline's supposed to be Sunday. Lydia Hu of the Fox Business Network covering that story this morning and giving us a few minutes. Lydia, thank you.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Yeah, what are we looking at now? I mean, is this deadline just automatically going to be extended 90 days, or what do we believe?
No, there is no automatic extension at this point. So basically, you know, we're 2 days out. This ban is set to start Sunday, unless within the next 25 minutes or so, the Supreme Court could possibly step in. They've signaled that they are going to release opinions today. One of those opinions could be possibly in the TikTok case. We don't know that to be a certainty. They heard arguments on that case only a week ago. So if they decided that case by today, that would be like lightning warp speed for the Supreme Court. So it's possible they could weigh in here and either decide the case on the merits, or they could issue a temporary stay. In other words, they could say, hey, we're still considering this case, but we want to get some more time before this ban takes effect effectively. So that would allow President-elect Trump to step in, and he said negotiate a different solution. Another thing that we're keeping an eye on is whether or not President Biden makes any actions here in the final moments for TikTok. You know, in Washington, the D.C. lawmakers, they are scrambling to try to create some type of pause on this ban.
Right.
Even after faster. They all, most of them, in a bipartisan fashion, voted for this law. Now they're saying, wait a second, not so fast. We don't want it to actually happen. Starting on Sunday, President Biden, please, please, please do something. It's unclear whether or not he's going to do anything. He may just punt this to Trump to take care of after he's sworn in on Monday. So that's kind of where we are. Either SCOTUS does something or Biden does something or the ban starts on Sunday.
Well, that's what's confusing to me is if the Supreme Court doesn't act and then, you know, it goes into effect on Sunday, but then Biden says, no, I'm not enforcing it. Does he really have the power to do that? Wouldn't it just automatically go dark, essentially?
Yeah. So even though he is saying he's not going to do anything to enforce it, the law that takes effect starting on Sunday includes enforcement provisions on service providers and app stores. So think like Google and Apple. And if they were to continue to work with TikTok under the terms of the law, they could face huge fines, something like $5,000 per user. So you think there are roughly 170 million users in the United States of TikTok? So if you're Google or Apple and you're hearing, well, Biden doesn't want to enforce this, and yet the law still says there are these huge significant fines, these giant tech companies are probably loath to not respect the law and kind of dot their I's and cross their T's. So it's expected that starting on Sunday, the app would not be available for new downloads. It would not be available for refresh.
Yeah. Lydia, I want to respect your time here. I know you got to run. One last question. Aren't the alternatives to TikTok also owned by ByteDance, like Red Note and these other options?
Yeah, that's such a great point. We're seeing this really interesting flight from TikTok, from the so-called TikTok refugees. They are people that are on TikTok that are really concerned about losing it, and they're looking for a new social media home. And hundreds of thousands of them are turning to this app called Red Note, and also Lemonade, which is another ByteDance-owned app. Red Note is different in that it is a completely 100% Chinese-owned company based in China. ByteDance is a Chinese company, too, that owns TikTok and Lemonade. But what's distinct about ByteDance is that when they're servicing American TikTok users, they say they're storing their data here in the United States under the supervision of Oracle, an American company. And so actually TikTok has better data privacy protections for American users than Red Note does, which is all in China. So all that data goes straight into the hands of China if you're joining Red Note. So what's happening is as we're facing this looming ban, people are leaving TikTok, which we were concerned about over national security, and are walking straight over to an app that arguably, with Red Note, raises even more national security concerns.
An app that on my phone, odd. Yeah, the app on my phone is in Mandarin. I mean, they don't even try to hide it. It's just crazy.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like 300 million users that are mostly Chinese. I mean, it is developed for a Chinese user base.
Wow. Lydia Hu, thank you. We'll look for your reports on Fox Business. Appreciate it.
Terrific. Thank you. Yeah, take care.
Take care of yourself. We appreciate that. Trying to respect her time here. Clearly, she's been assigned to cover this today, and she's near the Supreme Court there in Washington, and they go into session in about 19 minutes our time. So 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern, the Supreme Court will release some decisions, which is almost unheard of. It's not unheard of, but it's almost unheard of for them to do that this early in the session. And this is the big issue right here. This is the one that's got a deadline of Sunday. So you got to assume or guess that if they're releasing a decision at 10 a.m. on a Friday morning, 2 days before this ban goes into effect, it might be that case. I mean, she's got to probably run in there and be ready to report for Fox.
This is like a CR. You just kick the can down the road. I think that's what I get tired of, is it's almost like lawmakers can't agree on something, and so they're basically like, oh, just pass a CR, and then we'll deal with it in a handful of weeks. I don't really want to deal with this TikTok thing, so we're just going to kick the can down the road again and just deal with it in, what would it be, like November? Isn't it like 200 some odd days?
Jim alluded to this earlier when we had J.J. Carafano on from Heritage, and you can go back and listen to his interview with us at about 7:20 this morning on the app or on the podcast. If ByteDance, if Red Note is owned by the Chinese government, if all the alternatives are owned by the Chinese government. Why did we just put a ban on apps that are owned by the Chinese government?
Well, yeah, why?
Instead of TikTok specifically.
Why can't we do that now? I mean, I understand not being able to do it by Sunday, but why? Okay, so let's just say that's a good point. Let's just say we push back the whole deadline for TikTok. Well, then I want them to use that time effectively and broaden this out to say, yes, any Chinese-owned app we will not allow here in the United States. Because it's a waste of everybody's time if they just delay this and then nothing really comes of it.
I agree. And I don't know that there's any company in China that doesn't have some connection to the Chinese Communist Government Party. I mean, they probably have a board member or somebody who reports straight back to the party. It's just kind of how their system works. So the TikTok is the name brand that we're talking about here. But the issue is much more broad than that. And it's a security risk because of the relationship Chinese companies have with their Chinese communist leaders who want to dominate America. They want to steal our secrets and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and it's crazy because these users don't care because they're making their livelihoods off of it. I mean, many people, businesses included, but also just individuals who are content creators, that's their job title, they're making millions of dollars from posting on apps like TikTok. So this is a huge, we're not just talking about, you're not going to be able to scroll and see those dance videos that you watch on TikTok or those recipes, which I'm sure a lot of people will miss, but we are truly talking about people's source of income.
Like who are you though? I look at this app. I pulled this app up on my phone. I'm going to put it up to the camera here in the studio in case you haven't looked. The app itself is in Mandarin Chinese. You can't even read what it says except that when you search for it for Red Note, that's what comes up. Now, call me overly cautious, but why would you download something that you can't even read the title of it, and therefore you're agreeing to terms of service in Mandarin Chinese, which you can't understand the...
It doesn't matter what the language is of the terms of agreement, because do any of us read it anyway? It doesn't matter that they're in English. None of us read it. There are a gajillion pages in really tiny print. No one wants to take the time to do it. So we just hit agree, 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 and hope that we didn't just sell off our entire, all of our information to China in this case.
Yeah.
People, because it is so, people, we are so about being entertained and having the videos we like when we want them. And in some cases, like I mentioned, making millions of dollars. People don't care. Even if it said something like, danger, warning, warning, I seriously still think you'd have a number of people who were willing to download that app if it meant they were able to make money or be entertained.
You may be right. Maybe it's the Pelosi effect.
And what's that?
I don't know. Carl, am I potted up over here on my computer?
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
You have to download the app so you can find out what's in it. As you're giving all of your information away to the Chinese commies.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's it. It's a good excuse as anything else. All right, we'll get to a quick break here. We come back, we'll go back into a little bit of this Kristi Noem confirmation hearing that's underway up in the United States Senate right now. And you know what? We have finally captured some sound from the very elusive rhino, and we're going to play that for you when we come back here in just a minute.
The northern border issues that are going on, the lack of security and the lack of technologies that you really need to cover some of the landscapes that are there, very different than the southern border, some just as equally challenging, but all need to be addressed. So I definitely will be working with you to ensure that our northern border is adequately resourced as well. And we do have to have the resources in order to be successful.
Right.
That's something I want to work with Congress, with the Senate and the House on, to ensure that the resources are there to meet the challenges that we have. We have not fully utilized the technologies that are available that are necessary to really secure this country and to compete with those bad actors which wish to infiltrate our country. And having the ability to utilize them will make us much more safe. So I'll work with you most definitely in ensuring the northern border is protected.
There she is, Kristi Noem. She's talking to, I think that was Hassan is the senator, who was Maggie Hassan, the Democrat. They seem to be pretty friendly with her. They all seem to be taking it kind of easy on Noam. So clearly she's not going to end up having any sort of a problem. You know, you've watched this. So we don't have Cash Patel hasn't been before them yet. RFK Jr. has not been before them yet. Tulsi Gabbard has not been before them yet.
So they would probably be, what, Tuesday? Because surely they wouldn't be Monday. So
I don't know when they'll get to them maybe? After the inauguration sure. here at some point. Maybe they'll try to get a vote on some of these first before they bring those up. Because those are going to be a little bit tougher, I think.
Oh, yeah. But, RFK for sure, and Cash Patel.
Yeah, but for the most part, the ones that have gone so far have defended themselves well. No major gaffes. Pretty impressive in a lot of cases, I think. Rubio, Noam, these guys are going to be a shoo-in. I think Hegseth is pretty much a shoo-in, you would think. Who do you think among the Republicans might be holding out in terms of Republican senators? Like, if you just had to go run down a list of the usual suspects in your head, who do you think that might be?
As far as voting for some of these?
As far as not voting for
them.
Well,
that's what I mean. So Joni Ernst is one who comes to mind only because she initially expressed doubt about Pete Hegseth, but then has kind of changed her tune.
Yes, I think she has. But you have to always go back to the usual suspects. Now, Mitt Romney is no longer in the United States Senate, so we don't have to worry about his weak rear end and what he's going to do because he was one of them. Susan Collins is usually one of them you have to worry about, and we got some audio from the rare Alaskan rhino. I bet you didn't know there were rhinos in Alaska, but lo and behold, here's one of them who, although she voted 12 times to confirm Joe Biden nominees when there were confirmation hearings, she won't commit to a single one of Trump's picks.
I am in the midst of the advice and consent role. This is exactly the second confirmation hearing that I have been part of. We just started the confirmation hearings this week. I think I, along with everybody in the country, is watching them. And so I think it's premature to ask where I will be on any nominee until this process actually gets moving. So I'm doing what I do best, which is learning a lot. So thank you.
What a horrible woman she is.
Yeah, seriously. Lisa Murkowski, the biggest rhino in the United States Senate now that Mitt Romney is gone. I mean, honestly, she voted for almost every Biden nominee that was put up there. She voted for Ketanji Brown Jackson. She voted for Vanita Gupta. She voted for all of these people who were horrible picks for the Biden administration. And it's premature to decide if she would vote to confirm any of the, even though she's met with a bunch of them. I mean, what's she angling for?
So what's her biggest concern, you think, with all of these? Like, I could understand her having questions about maybe one of them, like her concern with, you know, Pete Hegseth, or she's, you know, angry that, you know, RFK has the stance he does on vaccines.
She doesn't Donald Trump.
Okay, so that's it.
Yes.
So they're associated with Hitler himself.
I guess so.
So it's nothing personal. She's just a blanket statement saying, I don't like them because Trump picked you.
Yeah, she's just a pain in the patootie is what she is. And she intends, I don't know, I would think she's angling for something. But when I look at it, when you approach drill, baby, drill, when you approach that concept in your brain, there is no state in America likely to benefit from that more than Alaska. Why would you not be on Donald Trump's doorstep down at Mar-a-Lago saying, thank you, let's go? Because everybody in Alaska gets a check from oil revenue right now. Everybody in Alaska already gets a check from it. They could get so much more. There's so much more to tap into up there. And Murkowski, oh, it's a little premature, even though I voted for all the Democrats. Give me a break. For goodness sake. All right. I tell you what, stay tuned. Brian Kilmeade will be live here, coming up here right after the top of the hour. Fox News, I'm sure, has a radio correspondent standing by at the United States Supreme Court. A few minutes after the top of the hour at 9 o'clock, usually takes him till 9:02, 9:03, 9:04, in my opinion, from past experience waiting for these decisions to be released. You can expect we may find out today on the TikTok thing is what I'm saying. There is a website called SCOTUS Blog. If you Google that and you want to just kind of be watching on there, they'll break it pretty quickly as well if you're not in a place where you can listen to the radio or watch it on a TV. Or you can go to the United States Supreme Court website, which is what I'll do, and you can go to the page where they release decisions, and then they just sort of populate on that page. You have to hit refresh, and then you can find out when those come out. So, all right. That's going to do it for us. Hey, listen, next time I talk to you, I will be in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, freezing my rear end off, getting ready for the inauguration of Donald J. Trump as the 47th president of the United States. So tune in. Kim and John Lamping will be holding down the fort here. I'll see you Monday.
Get more at 971talk.com.